following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on the Still Just Fishing Show. Appreciate everybody tuning us in this morning. We got Ted Hartman here with me this morning.
Good morning.
And got a few things to talk about, these fronts that come in, stuff like that. You know, talk about what the barometer does, you know, with these fronts. And, you know, we got another one coming in, looks like tomorrow, you know, because today you got southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming south 10 to 15 in the afternoon, and a chance of showers. But and a slight chance in the afternoon. But anyway, tomorrow they're talking about more showers. Southwest winds 10 to 15 knots. And so I would say, you know, the way the wind is, you know, the way the chance of showers is today should be the day to get out there and get them.
Yeah, that the moon phase, they're showing the best times to go is, what's today, the 4th?
Yeah,
12 to 2. 5th. 12 to 2.
4th.
And it shows good. The best fishing days are from now till the 7th. And then after that, they're not calling for very good days. Hmm. And then a fair day for the 15th. I kind of like some feedback from our listeners sometimes when it, so that we can, I'd like to compare to see some of these solar lunar tables to what really happens.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it from my perspective, and it's kind of hit and miss.
Yeah,
I was just curious to see what if it's the same with some of the.
I think it affects freshwater fishing more than saltwater, because I think the saltwater is more of a tide dependent thing. You know, as far as the way the fish react and all. You know,
and I have some redfish tactics for tidal waters.
And just thinking about, you know, the tidal thing too, also it's going to be, you know, it depends on water clarity and stuff like that a lot of times. Whereas if you get a lot of wind and, you know, or a lot of dredging going on in the river. I haven't talked to anybody in the past couple of days, you know, as far as it's been out there. Of course, I haven't been out there either yet because, you know, I've been doing healthcare here for my wife and my daughter since they both had surgeries in April. And they're not able to drive yet, so I've been taking my granddaughter back and forth to school. So I haven't been out there, and it's, you know, it's, yeah, we would think I wouldn't get cabin fever because I'm on the road so much trying to take them to doctors, you know, follow-up visits and taking my granddaughter back and forth to school each day. But it still seems like cabin fever since I haven't been on the water.
You know, there's a lot to say for people that are caregivers.
Yeah.
Because my wife did it for her mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I read an article that said that I believe it was 26%. It's, the caregivers are like 26% more likely to have a shorter lifespan.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah. I was shocked.
No.
It's just that they are with so much stress and the stress does affect you.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It affects your blood pressure and all that. So, you know, it just, for my wife, it lasted a couple of years, but for some that doesn't, it like this all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, my wife and was, you know, taking care of her mother and of course she helped take care of my dad. And all that. So, you know, I'm trying to be the good, you know, person now, trying to take care of all of them and kind of helping her, you know, with, you know, eating and, you know, fixing food and all this. Of course, I know she'll be glad to get back where she's cooking because my cooking is not good. I can tell you that. I like these quick and easy meals, you know, where, because I just don't have all that, you know. My wife, she just goes in and throws stuff together, and And matter of fact, I'll a lot of times I'll say, boy, that was really good. She goes, I don't know how I did it. So we won't have that again. Because she don't measure anything or anything. She just, like, you know, puts stuff together.
Tosses it in there.
Yeah, and it's and it winds up being delicious, you know. Me, well, I don't have that knowledge to be able to do that, you know, the different flavors and stuff you can mix together.
Well, caregivers are awesome people. They got good hearts.
And I tell you, it's trying to, you know, make sure my granddaughter gets back and forth to school. And, of course, she went to Tallahassee. Gosh, when was that? I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. The school went to Tallahassee to do their competitions, and they got Superior and their competition. So she's real proud about that. And, you know, it's just been a great thing. We went to her concert Thursday night down there at St. John's Cathedral downtown, and that was really good. And, you know, those kids really come a long way.
Yeah. I got to go down to Tallahassee Friday. This coming Friday.
Yep.
My son's giving me a tandem axle boat trailer. Mm-hmm. And the story behind that.
You went fishing one day.
I went fishing Saturday. That last Saturday, took my son. And it was probably the one of the worst days I ever had fishing. Mm. And we didn't catch nothing but ladyfish. Mm. I mean, that big ladyfish. I saved a couple to cut up for, you know, because that's the best cut bait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
And and we on the way home after the blennies and the ladyfish, and on the way home, the tire blew just as I got off the expressway. Mm. And so I rode it on the flat all the way, almost got home. Mm. And then I was one block from the house.
Oh, is that all?
That's all, one block. Man. And then the axle broke.
Ah.
Mm. Oh, boy. And then I had to get AAA to come and tow the boat home.
Yeah.
But getting it home was an all-day adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And then fixing it was an all-week adventure, off and on. But my son gave me his old trailer. He just bought him a brand new one. So I'm going to bring it back and fix it up and knock all the old rust and re-galvanize it.
It's a heavier duty trailer.
Heavier duty, yeah, duty trailer, absolutely. And this is not going to have any trouble carrying my boat.
Mm.
His boat is twice the size of mine, so, and it was hauling his, so
yeah.
I don't see it being a problem.
Back when I had that Caroline skiff, when they sold it to me, they had put a trailer under it that was a 3,600-pound trailer, and that's some of the things you have to look at, really. My tire started wearing on the inside, which I noticed, and, you know, the first year I had it. So I knew it was too heavy because, you know, when they sell you a Carolina skiff, it's pretty light, even though it's a 23-footer.
Yeah.
Compared to other boats. But whenever they, sold it to me like that, it was okay on that trailer before you put your cooler and ice and your anchor rope and your anchors and all your fishing tackle. You know, once you do all of that,
it's,
you know,
pretty heavy after that.
Yeah, you get pretty heavy, you know. So back used to the gate station on Hexer Drive right there before they rebuilt it years ago, they actually had a truck weigh station there. And it didn't cost but like $7 to weigh it. So I pulled in there and weighed it one day just to check and see. And sure enough, it was like right at the limit of, and that's if you don't have any water in your live wells, you know, and of course I carry bait back home to use the following day. So when you have water in your live wells, ice in your cooler, stuff like that, that was going to make it overloaded. So I went and bought a 5,200-pound trailer, you know, and that thing lasted, you know, well, it's still under the boat now. But, you know, when I sold the boat to, guy named Robert, he's still using it, same trailer and all, you know. But you gotta have
you to go to the tandem things. You went to the tandem on
no
that.
Not on that one. It didn't.
Hmm. Well, see, my boat's too heavy for this trailer, and once I fill it up, mm-hmm. and you know, you got your fuel and all that, it's right at the limit of that axle.
Yeah, sometimes you don't realize that, you know. Give us a call if you like, 222-8255, and we'll be back after this.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning talking about that. If you have your tires wearing on the inside or wearing on the outside, it's definitely an indication of something. You can look at your tires and tell. You know, of course, if it's wearing on inside and outside, a lot of times you just don't, you know, you don't have enough air in your tire to make it wear in the center or wear, you know, evenly. But, you know, if they, mine was wearing on that first trailer I had on the Caroline Skiff, mine was wearing on the inside of the tire, which made it, you know, you could tell it was like squatting in the tires. And it wasn't enough that you could look at the tire and tell, but as it started wearing, you could tell that they were, you know, wearing on the inside only, both tires. And so I could tell then that it was overloaded. That's when I had it weighed and to see. And, you know, such shame, you know, I sold that trailer for, I don't know, about $150, I think. But I wound up paying like $2,300 for a new trailer.
I was surprised that you can find them of really good shape for about $3,000, a new trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, this was years ago. I had that, let's see. Yeah. This is right at 19 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that. So
new ones are a lot more than that now.
Yeah.
But when on my trailer, what was happening is that it was wearing, I had enough air in the tires, but it was wearing on both side edges of the tire. Mm-hmm. And what it was doing, and I didn't notice, was that when the boat would bounce, the tire would come up and hit the upper part of the fender.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wearing the outside edges of the tire from where it was hitting up under the fender. And part of that reason I found out when I bought this new axle is that some axles don't have the hole drilled in there for the little nipple that's on the springs, the leaf springs, to keep it from moving. And those axles that don't have that hole pre-drilled, they have to weld a little metal piece on top of it, and it's about 1/4 inch or 3/8 of an inch thick, and that's what that nipple goes into. Well, that raises the axle up from the spring, and it knocks out your space between the tire and the fender. It just makes the tire closer.
Yeah.
And I noticed when I put this new axle on there, I had all kind of nice space in there. At least inch and a half. I have at least 2 inches of space in there, 1.5, 2 inches.
Yeah, see, which you didn't have
before. I didn't have that before.
Yeah.
And I had to change the springs out because they were real rusty, and that helped some. I put a little heavier duty spring in there.
Yeah.
And that helped, but when the axle breaks like this one did, it...
Yeah.
It doesn't end.
I know you have to kind of keep an eye on them, and mine's probably, it's been sitting there in the boat shed now all this time not being used, so I haven't been able, I haven't been keeping an eye on it because, I'm taking care of them, my family, and not, being able to look at it. But I need to get out there and look at it, because what I do every now and then is, when I launch the boat, I'll go out there and get some cardboard, put under the axle, and, scrape the rust off of it, wire brush it and everything, and repaint it.
Yeah.
So much easier to do that. You just launch the boat and, tie it to the dock and be able to do that rather than trying to crawl under the boat and do all that too.
Especially at my age. Either. Especially, you got that boat sitting on there, and then a jack drops out from under it.
Yeah. Boy,
you don't want that to happen.
Well, and I don't ever get under it with a jack like that. I would just kind of get, lay some plastic down and lay on it and try to get up underneath there. And it's so hard to do that. So, so low in there. And then you have your space between your boat and your axle that you can't really get up there and do a lot of work on too, So it's a lot easier to get that boat off the trailer and do that. And, Jim King ramp is a good place to do it, except for the fact that sometimes, you got those cabin cruisers that come flying through there.
Yeah.
They don't pay attention to the manatee zone, so they get, you want to make sure you have a good rope tied to the dock, and they'll bounce it all in there. I've heard that the trout's actually picked up in some areas. I don't know about the St. John's River because, it's probably still muddy.
Saturday when we was out, it was real muddy.
Was it?
And if you got around on the south, on the outside of the south jetties, it wasn't too bad. But I decided I was going to try it because I was catching nothing but ladyfish and blennies, and it was too muddy and too rough on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I went looking for pods, bait pods, and hoping. I only saw one ray, no cobia, and the mud from the beach was at least 200-300 yards out from the beach. And it was muddy even along the beach.
Well, that seminar we went to with Nathan Stewart, was telling us about that. And when it's like that, he says you got to get out there where it's cleaner water.
Yeah, so I didn't get out find a little bit further,
Some but y'all didn't use
two bait pods.
Oh, I was gonna say you didn't.
Yeah, we did
see
find
pogies.
Two bait pods, and but there was nothing in them. There was tons of boats other than boats in them. There was tons of them in there throwing cast nets.
Yeah.
But I didn't see but one ray.
Well, that's probably why there wasn't any fish in them. If there was a lot of boats throwing cast nets in that one, and especially if you find a pod like that, a pogie pod. I haven't heard much about the triple tail, although, they should be
out there now.
On the beach now too. And, yeah, it's been about to get me not being able to get out there and look for them,
That's one of my fishes on my wish list, that and a cobia.
Yeah. Maybe in a couple of weeks I can get out there, It's all depends on if I, if my daughter or my wife gets able to drive again. Wife had her hip replaced in April, and then my daughter had that surgery And they did 5 incisions on her.
Wow.
Where they did it orthoscopically, you know, but 5 incisions.
They're small.
Actually, they were bigger than I thought. They were each about probably 3/4 of an inch, except one of them was about 1.5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way they had the tire stomach around her esophagus and stuff. And so, you know, she's been doing better. She wasn't doing very good at all for the last week and a half, but she's doing a little better now.
Well, that's so great.
Yeah, so, you know, like say, making sure, you know, being that neither one of them can drive, I've been taking my granddaughter back and forth to school. And so that's why I haven't been able to work either, you know, taking them back to their follow-up doctor's appointments and stuff. So, yeah. So just so happened the way the surgeries wind up this month, we're both of them are out of commission, you know. So, but anyway, you know, I'll get back out there pretty soon.
Yeah. Just a matter of time. You're the redfish king, I'm going to tell you. And I was doing a little study in here and saw some redfish tactics, and I've been fishing with you and found you use a lot of these same tactics.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. Mm. But where they were talking about were the outgoing tides, where we set up on the outside of that creek. Whenever the tide started to come out into that, the water started to recede.
Yeah.
They came out of that creek right into that open area.
Yeah.
And we just sat there and waited for them to come in there too.
Mm-hmm.
That was and we were your anchor was sticking out of the water.
Yeah.
We was in around 1 foot of water in there. And we were loading, we were catching them in there like crazy.
Yeah.
So,
and it depends on, you know, a lot of times, I mean, when you can find those schools that hadn't been disturbed, you know, very much, then, you know, you can kind of get on them and learn that pattern in different areas like that, which is pretty neat.
They asked Captain Leon, he's got some quotes in here. This guy that wrote this article, was given some quotes there, and that he likes to work the dead low tides in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And look for crawlers. That's what he calls them.
Yeah.
Crawlers.
Well, when you can see that without that wind coming up.
Yeah.
And usually that first thing in the morning, if you have a low tide, I like that too, because the water is slick. Usually, you know, the water is pretty slick. And you can see a lot more movement that way. You know, if you've got like 10 knot winds even, and you've got a ripple on the water, it's harder to see them. But, you know, to being able to see them, like Leon's talking about the crawlers there. Being able to see them like that is pretty neat, because then you can kind of see where they're hanging out and you know where to put your bait at, you know, compared to not being able to see them. And, there's some mud flats here we have where at one mud flat, I see people throwing up against the bank all the time. And there's a school of fish that hang out there, but they're about 60 feet out from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's in one of those little depressions is where that school hangs out. But it's kind of funny to me to watch somebody ease along with the trolling motor and throwing over to the bank, and then on the other side of the boat where they're not looking, the fish are kind of going out and around the boat.
Around and around.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of funny to learn, you know, certain areas like that where you see that little depression, and you can see those depressions really good on a strong west wind. And especially if you have like a full moon or new moon and a strong west wind where you have less water. You can kind of see those depressions better, you know, and can tell why those fish hang out there.
Well, you know, the other tactic that they mentioned is you've done this too. I've been fishing with you. When we see the egrets and stuff walking along the bank, the redfish are pushing the minnows up along the beach, along the edges of the beach in the water.
Yeah.
And the birds are sitting there picking them out.
Yeah.
Well, the reds are down there. Doing that's what they're you can't see them, but they're down there enough to where they're pushing the minnows and stuff right up there for the birds.
It's pretty neat to watch them, especially those golden slippers, you know, to watch those birds, how they work with those reds.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat. It's you know, a lot of times when I used to fish, I would watch those things for probably 30 minutes even before I'd even cast.
Well, that's a good idea,
just to learn how they work together, you know. Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The Democrats are discouraged about President Trump's momentum because of the strong U.S. economy. It's weighing on them. The president can boast about the strongest economy in decades as he ramps up his 2020 re-election campaign. The strength of the economy not lost on the Democrats, who have to acknowledge the weight to their challenge. Since World War II, no incumbent president has lost re-election in a growing economy. South Korea says it's very concerned about North Korea's weapons launches, calling them a violation of last year's inter-Korean agreements to reduce tensions between the two countries. The South Korean government says it urges North Korea to stop committing acts that would raise military tensions. Officials say a charter plane carrying 143 people traveling from Cuba to North Florida wound up in a river at the end of a runway. No critical injuries were reported. This is SRN News.
Your attention, please. Hangar Bay Cafe is your locally owned and veteran-owned restaurant at the beach, 2294 Mayport Road. Hangar Bay Cafe has something for everyone, lunch and dinner, on the go or dine-in. Hangar Bay is famous for their ramen. A regular ramen bowl with two pieces of chicken and drink starts at just $13. The fried chicken at Hangar Bay is better than your mama's. It's on the list of the best fried chicken in the 50 states based on Yelp data. Check out the sandwiches like the unique bourbon teriyaki, pulled pork or spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. In a seafood mood, how about shrimp and fish with grits? It's veteran-owned with a Navy theme and variety. Hangar Bay Cafe, open 7 days a week, 2294 Mayport Road. Hangar Bay Cafe, online at hangarbaycafe.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
This is the Savage Nation.
Talking about Avenatti, I've never seen a lawyer get away with this. As Cohen is being sentenced, this dirty rat gives a press conference saying Trump is next. The legal profession was never developed for people like Avenatti, in my estimation. You think Jerry Nadler's any different than Cohen? They're all cut from the same pickle. You ought to thank God they didn't become judges. In Nadler's case, he went higher than a judge. He became a congressman. Can you imagine that?
Michael Savage, a host like no other. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
There will be a slight chance of showers through tonight, about a 20% chance of those. Otherwise, partly sunny this afternoon, up to about 89. Mostly cloudy tonight, going to get down to about 70. And then a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy Sunday, high 87. 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy Sunday night, down to 70. And then Monday, mostly sunny, highs near 89.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Well, don't do it. Yeah. And we're back this morning. We got Captain Chip Wingo on here. Let's see what he tells us about a redfish. Are they biting there, Captain?
Morning.
They've been biting all week. It's been good. Before we had this little rain, our salinity levels have come back up pretty high, so the bite's been pretty good on reds.
Good.
Set up pretty good. So, but today I need all three. for this North Florida Builders tournament.
Oh, you're in the tournament this morning, huh?
Yeah, chartered out for it, so I'm hoping to catch a nice flounder, and I need an Eddie Kabler trout. and go get the redfish. I'm going to wait on the redfish and fish the redfish at high tide and try to bang these other two species out of the way so we can get a nice one of each.
Yeah, that's probably your hardest too, is to, as far as getting size, is the flounder and the trout like that. Have you been getting some nice flounder though, hadn't you?
Yeah, there's been some good ones around. I mean, I know of one that was caught that was 8.
Wow. That's big for this time of the year.
Yeah, but I haven't caught one that big. I mean, every year during this time, during this tournament, I know that Scotty Shanks had, 6 and 8 pounders for the tournament. So he usually does really well on a big flounder in this one. So we're going to see. I mean, one of the better bites this week was on mud minnows, and then that fish bites. I've been using that fish bites bite club, that brown color. That's been really good. It's just one of those days where we go out and pound it out. We've got a long day ahead to pound it out.
Yeah.
But it should be good. But, yeah, with that salinity coming up, with that being said, the reds were all over the intercoastal this week, north and south, schooled up and aggressive. And, a few of the fish that I cleaned had mullet in it, so they're starting to feed on mullet pretty good. So that's always a positive. That means they're nice and aggressive, which I like.
Yeah, it's about time for them to be that way, I'm telling you. I know they weren't very aggressive in March,
Yeah, you had to coax them into biting.
Yeah, exactly.
For them, so.
Have you been to the St. John's River this past week?
No, actually I didn't. I crossed it, but I didn't fish it.
Yeah, so. I'm just wondering how muddy it was, like up the river, toward Mill Cove and Dane's Point.
One of the nicer things with that south winds that we've had a lot of southerly winds, uh-huh. is it cleaned up a lot of the area down in the Beach Boulevard area. The water wasn't as dirty.
Good.
So nice thing. I mean, I saw some beautiful water this week. It looked like, that December, January water where it's amber clear.
Yeah.
Where you could actually see fish. And I tell you one thing that's weird, though. We've caught the biggest bonnet heads I've seen this year ever here.
Wow.
I mean, 4 footers, 4.5 footers. I mean, it's insane how big those suckers are. And you think, like the other day we had 2, and you think you've got a good red or a good drum on, and then all of a sudden you realize it's not,
catching a bunch of those on the south jetties on the outside. Bunch of bonnetheads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, last Saturday.
Yeah, those things are strong. They're a lot of fun on light tackle.
Supposedly they're really good to eat.
Yeah, they are. We've eaten them. My family likes them. We used to just stake them out and put them on the grill. They're good, clean fish because they don't eat like old dead pogies or whatever. If you use a piece of cut bait, matter of fact, you can't hardly get them. They like shrimp and they like crab.
Gotcha. It's hard to hear you. I could hear people talking over the top. Coming from the your guy inside.
Oh yeah,
here. Yeah, I hear him too from in here.
he's talking so much you don't hear us, but you can. They can hear y'all in there talking, so you might have your microphone on.
But so other than that, the trout bite seems to be turning on a little bit more too, which is always a positive. So hopefully, it looks like Eddie got on a good bite. I know there's been some good fish up the river. Even with the muddy conditions, it's been pretty good. So
they must be going on up the river further.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I know that, there were some good fish in the Arlington area last week. So it's just a matter of bumping it around. So find one, you should find more.
Yeah. Well, and actually, when I went up, last time I was out there, we went up Clapboard, that mud had gone up into Clapboard under the bridge there and went up into there. So I was getting pretty discouraged about that, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that water wasn't that, you know, pretty up in there, too. And, I mean, kind of concerning me, being that they're going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah, I'm kind of concerned with it, too. I mean, you know, you know what I like to do this time of year.
Yeah.
And I haven't been doing it, you know. I'm about to change the trolling motor out on my boat and go with a 36-volt.
You'll like that.
This time, so, you know, and it's another battery, another heavy battery, but at that same time, you know.
Yeah, but you have power to spare then. That's what's so good about it, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is, you know, I'll be able to put a lot, use a lot less wear on that motor, that trolling motor, as to be, you know, maxing it out in the river a lot. So.
Exactly.
But, well, guys, I hope you have a good day. I'm going to get this boat ready and do this tournament.
All right, buddy. Good luck to you.
You out on the water this week, Vic?
Well, I've got a couple of trips booked, but it looks like my daughter and my wife still can't drive.
It's tied off. I'll get it.
So it doesn't look like it. But hopefully the week after, maybe, you know.
All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Yeah, good luck to you.
Thanks, bro.
All right, see you soon. All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's Captain Chip Wingo, and so hopefully he'll be, you know, getting on him out there.
Chip Davis caught a 7-pound trout up in that area.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, nice trout. So
yeah.
They're up. They're catching them around in there.
Well, I should say, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, catch them in dirtier water, stuff like this. So if you can find some cleaner water, that's, you know, the trout's a lot more susceptible to the, you know, mud in the water than the redfish are, you know. I don't know if a redfish really cares that much about it unless the water's really super muddy, but those trout, if that water is not really good and clean, they just, it reminds me of when Nathan was talking about the cobia. You know, if you get around the muddy water, you're just not going to see any cobia, you know, so you got to get in that clean water. And that's the way those trout are. Now, the redfish is a different story, you know.
Well, I was looking at the fishing reports on those areas between the Mayport and St. Augustine. They're catching the cobia closer to shore down there, Palm Valley and St. Augustine. But when you start to come up this way, they're offshore in about 80 to 100 foot of water. So, you know, it's like this trash that's coming out of the mud and all that's coming out of the St. John's. They're feeling it way offshore because they're moving way around it.
Yeah, you can actually, you know, get out there sometimes. And I haven't been out there just, you know, for seeing the mud this time, but I know when we've had a lot of rain and stuff like that, you can go 5-6 miles out. I mean, you know, still. I mean, I've been further out and seen it out there like that.
Well, they're dumping
further out than that, you know.
Yeah, they're dumping that stuff.
Yeah, offshore.
Offshore, so that would even run them further off.
Yeah, they go out there and dump all that mud and rocks out there, and then of course that's, you know, causing it, depending on which way the wind's blowing and, you know, the current, how hard the current's running, just where it goes, you know. And I say that because if the current's not running as far, I mean, as fast, then it won't, you know, it won't drift as far. But there's even been some sailfish caught on the beach now, which that's pretty neat, you know, to have sailfish out there this time.
We're down Palm Valley area.
I don't know how far down they were, but I know they were just all off the beach right there, you know. So
yeah, I mean, down in there, they're catching them not too far off the beach.
Yeah, I've heard there's been at least 3 or 4 of them that I've heard about being caught, you know.
And it's strange.
And for catching sailfish, I've just, you know, that's another species I haven't caught myself, you know.
If you're with the Jacksonville, the offshore club, they'll make you jump into the water during their meeting if you catch sailfish. Say, that ain't mine, that's Vic's fish.
Give us a call if you like. I'd like to hear about your opinion on the solar tables, the moon phases and all of that.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And I'd like to see what other people's opinions are about the solar tables and the moon phase. I know a lot of people talk about they don't like to fish on a full moon. I like to fish on a full moon because and leading up to and after, because you know, you get lower tides, you get higher tides too, which is a good thing, especially in the fall. You know, if you get some flooded grass going, stuff like that, if it gets that high, where you can get the tailing reds, tailing sheep's head in there. But I like the lower tides because they're generally lower than normal, so it makes those fish, you know, kind of react different ways and makes them come out of areas where they don't normally have to come out. Makes them get further away from the shoreline on the mud banks where people don't usually see them, you know, things like that. So, you know, I kind of like the lower tides, lower than normal tides. But, you know, it just all depends.
Yeah, they're showing on one of these tables that the better fishing is during the new moon phase. And do you notice any difference in the tidal difference between the new and the new full moon?
Yeah, the new moon is not as low and not as high as the full moon.
Yeah, they're not showing, I mean, like the 8th through the 14th, they're not showing anything very good. And then I'm talking about for this month.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 15th through the 21st are good days, and the 31st is through the 31st through the 6th of June is the best days.
Yeah, and so you have a full moon coming up on the 18th of this month,
right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Which your new moon is today,
right?
And You've got like a minus point. Well, the lowest you've got is, you know, tomorrow and the next day is a minus 0.3 is what it showed on this tide chart. And, you know, the one I always kind of go by. And they're showing like it, like say for today at 2:35 PM at Mayport. So it'll be like 3:35 up in the intercoastal. And around clapboard areas like that, it's a minus 0.2. And then tomorrow's a minus 0.3. And, you know, you got a little bit higher than normal high tide. You know, in the afternoons, you have a 4.7. This morning at 8:41, you only have a 4.7 high tide, which means 4'7" above a normal low tide. And then at 9:01 p.m., it's a 5.3. So, see, that's quite a bit of difference just from this morning to tonight's high tide,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then looking at the full moon down there, we're going to have some tides like on the 18th at 2:39 p.m., a minus 0.9. So, see, that's almost a foot lower than normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have that from, let's see, the 17th, even on the 18th. Thursday the 18th, you got a minus 0.8 at 1:04 in the afternoon. And then the 17th, you've got a minus 0.9. Then the 18th, you got a minus 0.9. And then when you pass the full moon, it starts coming back up to normal, like a minus 0.8, then a minus 0.6, then a minus 0.2. It'll start coming back on up to where it's, you know, a normal low tide. And then when you get in the middle of that third quarter, some of the tides that you know, once they get like on a low tide, if you have like a 1.1 or even a 0.9 low tide, that's not very low. Mm-hmm. So those fish can stay in these areas where you can't get to them a lot of times. And that's what I don't care to fish on. That's why I like those lower tides where it actually draws those fish out and makes them come out of those areas. You know, I mean, if you're looking at like on say the 25th, or the 26th here, I'm gonna say the 26th because you got a 0.8 low tide. All right. And then you look at what we have on the full moon, you got a minus 0.8. So that's quite a bit of difference mm-hmm. right there. I mean, you're talking about a foot and a half difference in height of the tide at low tide. A foot and a half difference. That's quite a bit of difference.
Yep.
So you could be fishing in a creek. And I think that's where a lot of people don't, that's why they get stuck in some of these creeks that we see out there, because a lot of times I think the people will kind of fish in these creeks at a regular low tide, excuse me, and you might have a foot of water in there. And then you get in there on a full moon where it's a minus 0.8 and you're only going to have 2/10 of a foot. You'll be in the same creek waiting on low tide and all of a sudden you can't move. You know, so I mean,
you'll be in that creek a while.
Yeah.
Fishing in the mud. Yeah. It'll come out of there quick on you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It will. And especially, and that's why I don't like to go up these little creeks on the outgoing tide. I used to do it more in my Carolina skiff. I mean, I'd go up because that Carolina skiff, even though it's 23 footer.
Skinny.
Yeah. I mean, in 8 inches of water, I could get in and out of there. Okay.
Yeah.
This boat that I have now, of course, it takes about, you know, 12, 13, 14 inches, depending on how many people I got in there and all. And, but having that Carolina skiff, you know, there was a lot of places where I would sit up in there and try to fish on them. And then even at that point, if you had the wind blowing out of the west and you're looking at the tide chart thinking, okay, I can do this creek all the way up through low tide, or I could do this creek all the way up to an hour before low tide.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a west wind picks up. Well, you might better get out of there 2 hours before low tide.
Yeah.
You know, cause I mean, it will blow that water right out of the river. And when it does, it sucks it out of those creeks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. For Chip, if he's with his, tournament today, it's showing here the best bite is between 12 and 215. So I'd be curious to see if the bite picks up for him between those hours today. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah, and he said the reds have been doing good. And I mean, I unfortunately don't, you know, all I've got is from the people I've been talking to. I know they've been jumping tarpon in Hannah Mills. I had a friend of mine telling me that the other day, that they jumped some tarpon in Hannah Mills, so up in the creeks. And so they're already up in there, which is kind of amazing, really. You know, the tarpon hole I talk about off a clapboard,
right.
Usually those tarpon aren't in there until, you know, middle of June, in the end of June, something like that. But
that's right, because I think that was when you told me about that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And my son caught one in there. It's about 4 foot.
Mm.
And he fought it for a while, and then it threw the
hook.
Yeah, he hasn't learned to bow to them babies yet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bow to them when they come out of the water. And after about the second or third time, it threw the lure out.
Mm.
Caught him on the bomber.
The pink
bomber, the one with the pink stripe on the top.
Yeah.
That's what he had.
Did it straighten the hook?
No, he just threw it.
Mm.
Coming out of the water, shaking his head, he threw it. Just threw it out.
Yeah, that's what's so tough on a lure, because catching them on a lure with like treble hooks and stuff like that, they don't seem to get stuck as good as, you know, using like a single hook, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a single hook seems to stick tarpon a lot better.
Yeah. I bought a new bait that looks just like a pinfish. It's that live bait. It looks, I mean, so real.
Did you have it last week?
No. I did, but I didn't use it.
I was going to say, some of those jacks that's out there now. Have you seen some of those jacks on the beach?
No, I haven't. I've heard Leon, them catching them out there. But
Leon had a picture of one of them. I mean, these are some major jacks. And see, it's early for them to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what's really getting me. I'm getting itchy. You know? Because them big old jacks like that, oh, gosh, they will scream some drag. I mean, I'm talking, you know, anywhere from 15 to 25-pound jacks. That's
a monster.
We'll be back.